All right, here we go. Welcome. So good to be with you. Let me just say hi to those of you who are watching this really all over the place in our Fenton campus and Mid Rivers and Grants Trail, and those of you who are watching online. Man, is it good that we get to do this together. We've been having this conversation now for a while about these things we get invited to when we do life in the kingdom of God, and we've been covering all these invitations. For those of you who are new, who are our guests or are visiting the Crossing, I hope that you've been feeling invited into this as well, because you are welcome. So today we're going to look at another one of these great invitations. And I got to tell you, I think as we look at this, we're going to see some things that God has invited us into that are something we've been thinking about and praying about and anticipating for a while now as a church. I mean, I really feel like God is about to do something new. So I've been praying for the last several days that we would have ears to hear it, that our hearts would be open to God's leading. And so I'm going to ask, would you all join me in that prayer? In fact, could we pray together right now? Let's pray. God, we are in awe of what you are doing in our midst. We are in awe of how you are calling us into this life with you, and it is more, and it is better than anything that we could have anticipated, God. But we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to us through it now, that you would show us what this life with you looks like, what you're calling us into. And God, I pray for anybody who can hear the sound of my voice, God, that we would begin to feel the ground shift beneath our feet as you call us into something new. We love you. We thank you. Speak to us now. In the saving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to jump right into scripture. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you brought your Bibles and want to follow along, we'll pick up with verse 17. But Paul is about to drop one of his famous lines on us here. I mean, this is one of the famous Paul verses, and we're going to look at it here in verse 17, and then we'll connect it to some things that we talked about last week. Because what Paul is talking about here is this abundant life that we get invited into when we do life with Jesus. So we'll pick up here in verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Now, like I said, that's pointing back to this life in Jesus that we talked about. When we do life with Jesus, when we invite him in to our world and what he's doing in our lives, then all of a sudden we begin to experience a life that is more than we ever imagined it could be. It's abundant, it's eternal life, it's vigorous life, it's loved life, it's all those things we talked about last week. Paul says that when we do this life with Jesus, it's so different, it almost feels like we've become a different person. And the reality is, I want to talk to some of you who are trying to figure out what this life with Jesus looks like. Because I've had a chance to talk to a few of you over the last few weeks, I've gotten some feedback from you. And here's the thing, there are some of you who grew up in church. And at some point along the way, you got off the trail, you stopped coming, and now you're trying to figure out what it looks like to get back into things. Maybe to begin this life with Jesus in a new way, to figure out what it looks like to actually trust him. Some of you are even newer than that. There are folks who are here that are like, I still can't believe I'm actually in a church right now. Like, this is just crazy. But I've got some people in my life, friends or family, and I've been watching them, and I see this different kind of life happening in them. And so I'm starting to think, maybe there is a spiritual awakening that I'm longing for or something. And so, okay, I'll give it a shot. I've got questions, but I'm going to start trying to figure this out. Wherever you're coming from on all of this, Paul's giving us a really interesting picture of this life with Jesus. He says it's like you become a new person. Now, believe it or not, that is actually a theme that we see in the Bible. That's how this spiritual life with God is kind of described sometimes. In fact, maybe you have heard a phrase that sometimes people use when they talk about Christians. Sometimes we'll say this, sometimes it's not even in a positive light, but we will say that people who are Christian are born again. You ever hear that phrase? Well, guess what? That comes from the Bible. Jesus said this in a conversation in John chapter 3. So Jesus was talking to this man who, quite frankly, thought he had all the answers. He thought he knew what life in the kingdom of God looked like. But he sees Jesus now. And Jesus is different than what he expected. And so now he's coming to Jesus as he's going, you got to help me figure this out. And Jesus says to him, well, it's like this. You have to be born again. It's almost like entering into a completely new way of life. Paul's saying the same thing here when he says, if you're in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Now, there have been times where I've gotten a chance to be, like I've had the honor of being able to watch somebody pray and receive Jesus for the first time and say, Jesus, I want to do my life with you. I'm trusting you. And when we pray in those moments, one of the things I love telling people is, you're a new creation now. And that means you get to spend the rest of your life with Jesus figuring out what that means. And so as amazing as all of that is, it's even bigger than that. See, Paul's going to continue now, and he's going to connect some new ideas to what we were just talking about. And so we're going to pick up here in verse 18 now. And remember now, this is the very next thing Paul says. He says, all this is from God, this new life in Jesus. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, maybe one of those words is familiar because we talked about it last week. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. I actually used that word, and some of you might remember that. This is who we're called to be in another this is who we're called to be in this life with Jesus. Now, there's other ways to say this. Let me say it like this. You are invited into this life with Jesus, and a part of that means that you are called to a purpose. You are invited to the mission of God. Once again, this is the great invitation. God is welcoming us into a kingdom in which we are invited to a number of different things. We're invited to community with him and with the people around us. We're invited to this life that is abundant and eternal, and it's more than we could have imagined. But coloring all of these things is this invitation to the mission. Our community is to be missional. Our lives are to be missional. The idea here is what some have called the missio Dei, the mission of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to spend the whole rest of our time together trying to figure out. But in order for us to get there, let me ask you all a question. How many of you, and raise your hands at the sites if you're watching this or online, how many of you are fans of classical music? Anybody listen to classical music? Quite a few of you. Okay, all right. Classical music is doing okay. That's good to know. Those of you who are fans, I'm going to show you a video here in just a second of what is widely considered the greatest youth orchestra in the world. Now, for those of you who are fans, let me ask you, what city do you think they might be from? Anybody want to take a stab? Greatest youth orchestra in the world. Where do you think it's probably from? People keep saying St. Louis. Way to cheer on St. Louis. It's not. San Francisco, somebody said? Sydney, Australia? It's a good guess, yeah. Austria, Vienna, I heard London, Paris, all of these really, really good guesses. All wrong. Sorry. Caracas, Venezuela. So what we're about to see here is called the El Sistema Youth Orchestra of Caracas, Venezuela. Now, when you're watching this, what I want you to be asking yourselves as you're watching this is, how could this be a picture of this mission of God that we are called to? You got it? All right, take a look. Thank you. right, so that's something, right? Tell me just here in Chesterfield, you guys tell me, what did you all notice? Joy. That word kept life, right? It was alive, participating. Yeah, absolutely. You ever been to a classical music concert like that? See, usually when you go to a classical concert, there's a very distinct line that's drawn right along the edge of the stage, isn't there? And it goes like this. Out there, you all are the observers. We are the performers. We're the artists, right? So you observe, we will make art together, okay? Now you can clap at the end, but that's it. Don't you dare clap at the wrong time, right? If you even so much as sniffle or sneeze while we're performing, we will stare at you because you are ruining the performance. So you can clap at the end, but that's, okay, so that's kind of what maybe some of us might be used to, but and don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of classical music. I love going to classical concerts, but man, what I would give to be a part of something like that. That's a picture of the mission of God. These artists are saying, listen, we're gonna experience something really cool together and you're invited. Come do this with us. Be a part of the experience. Let's be alive together. This is a part of what Paul is talking about when he says these words, when he says, listen, we implore you on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. Come join us. Be a part of this with us. That's a picture of the mission that God is calling us into. Now, to be clear, let me just kind of help us with what that doesn't mean. Because some of us are coming from a church background where maybe you're thinking, I know where this is headed. I know what we're gonna say now. The pastor's gonna tell us that we're all gonna go canvass the neighborhoods and knock on doors and hand out tracts and pamphlets and ask questions like, hey, if you were to die today, do you know where you, I mean, is that where this is all going? Not so much. Truth is, I think it's actually bigger than that. When we're invited into this life with God, we are also invited to extend that life invitation to others. But what that means is that you guys remember last weekend when we ended the service we did this thing with water. And I had a cup of water and we were pouring water into it and it just kept overflowing. And some of you got really uncomfortable because you were worried about the carpet. Remember that? This overflow is a picture of life with God. It's also a picture of the mission of God. Because what God is saying to us is, listen, out of the overflow of your life, share it with others. I am now going to overflow. I'm gonna bless you beyond what you can contain. I am gonna lavish my love on you so much that you will be filled to overflowing. And then out of that overflow, invite others into it. See, one way of saying it is this. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are invited to invite others into this experience. We're having fun. Come join us. Come be a part of it. Come see what life with God is like. But it's even bigger than that. Go back to what Paul was saying in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Now, when I was young, this was one of the verses that I tried to memorize, and I memorized it differently. It went like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So what's the difference in the translation here? Well, Paul, in the Greek, only uses two words. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Even in his language here, Paul is pointing to something that is happening. This new creation that is in the person is pointing to a new creation that might even be bigger. The Apostle James, in the first chapter of his letter, says that we who follow Jesus become like the first fruits of all that he has created. What does that mean? It's pointing to something. Romans chapter 8, Paul says that all of creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. What does he mean by that? Creation is waiting for something. Why? Again, some of us get stuck here. Because there's been this narrative, this pervasive way of thinking about the mission of God that has been in the church for a long, long time. And it goes something like this. Really, God's mission is just to save souls. So when Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins so that you could be forgiven for your sins. And when you accept this gift that Jesus offers us, when you accept this free gift of grace, then that means you are promised that when you die, you will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. That's what we have been told. Now, to be clear, everything I've said is absolutely true. That's true. Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. You can be forgiven. You can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. All of that. But what about the rest of creation? See, again, if you go back to the kind of the old way of looking at it, what some people would say is, oh, the rest of creation, it just gets destroyed. God burns it away, melts it, and it starts from scratch and creates this new experience of heaven that we go to and we get to be a part of. Now, if that's true, if that's the mission of God, then you understand it really doesn't matter how much how we treat our neighbors. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do for a living, whatever your job is that you kind of give your time and energy to every day, it's pretty meaningless because at the end, God's going to scrap it all anyway. You're not working towards anything. It really doesn't matter how we care for the environment or other things like that. If God's just going to scrap all of creation and start over. So is that it? I mean, we talked about this again last week. We said sometimes we think that our job is to just kind of hunker down and hold on until Jesus returns or we die and we get to be in heaven with him. And so in the meantime, we kind of huddle up. We try to not let the world get on us because it's all going to burn and eventually we'll get to the heaven, the life that God promises us. Is that it? Is that the Missio Dei? Is that what God has been planning? I don't think so. Now, let me give you a theological statement here that is both really easy to remember, but it's also deeply profound. Al Wolters says this. He said, God doesn't make junk, and he will not junk what he has made. This goes back to the very beginning, when God spun all of this into existence. Rob reminded us of this back at the end of June. What did he say? God is creating, and in the midst of his creating, every once in a while, God takes a step back and he looks at it all, and what does he declare? It's good. It's good. There's something good and wonderful and beautiful about God's creation. Why would he want to scrap it all if he says that it's good? So what's the plan? What does the Bible say about all of this? The Bible actually says that God's plan is to restore everything, all of creation. Revelation 21, Jesus says, I am making everything new. All things are made new in Jesus. So what this means is, as one of our scholars, Matt Leibarger, will remind us, is that God's desire is to move into every arena of life, every corner of creation, and bring restoration and healing and redemption and newness. This is the overwhelming promise of Scripture. God's mission is not just to save souls. God's mission is to make everything new again. Everything right. All wrongs made right. All wounds healed. All creation is redeemed. What is broken is mended. See, this is the hope we have in Jesus. He did not go to the cross only to save souls. He went to the cross so that ultimately every dark corner of this universe could be illuminated with the light of Christ and the hope of the future, that it all might be made whole again and restored to him. Now, this is important for us for a lot of reasons, but some of them are very, very personal. Because there are some of us in our midst right now, in all of our locations, that are struggling right now with the fragility of this life, the brokenness that we experience. Now, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know all of your specific stories, but I know some stories in this church. There are some of us right now who are struggling, wondering, God, how is this job situation going to work out? How is anything good kind of come out of this? God, where am I supposed to be? How am I going to navigate this season of life that I am in right now? Some of you, you can't get that word that we talked about a couple of weeks ago out of your head. It's the word loneliness. I'm lonely. When am I not lonely anymore? Now, you could be lonely in part because you're isolated, you're by yourself, and you're just experiencing that right now. It could be that there's been a fracture of relationship in your life. Somewhere in your relationships, there has been brokenness, and now two people who were together no longer are. And in the midst of that, you're going, God, I don't know what to do with this. Maybe it's because you've lost somebody who's dear to you. There's someone who is in your life, and very simply, they are not here anymore. And so what you're experiencing is grief. Whatever it is for you, we all at times find ourselves in these places where we ask, God, do you see me? Do you care about what's going on in my life? Do you have a plan for this? Father, will there ever be an end to the brokenness, to my grief, to my isolation, to my uncertainty? Will you ever bring an answer to the dread and the despair that we sometimes experience? See, I was reminded just earlier this week of one thing that Jesus said. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus guarantees there's trouble in this life, but then he makes us another guarantee. You'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, what else could Jesus mean when he says that than other than that he comes to make everything? He intends to make it all restored again. Once again, every wound healed, every brokenness mended, every void in our hearts filled with his goodness. Revelation 21, Jesus says that he will wipe every tear from our eyes. This is the hope that we have. But here's the thing. It's also the mission of God, and you and I are being invited into it. You are invited to the mission of God. So now let me ask you, if that's true, then what area of the universe do you long to see God move in and restore? What arena of life do you wish God would bring redemption and healing to? What breaks your heart? When you look at your life, when you look at the news that you see, when you look at what is going on in the world around us, the seemingly hopeless kinds of things that are going on, what's the area that God might be like calling you to step into, to be a part of this restoration and healing that is to take place? Because we get to play a part in this. Now, if we were to start to have a conversation and hear all of what you, how you guys might answer that question, we might even find that some of us disagree with each other, that we would come at some of the brokenness in this world from opposite directions. And you know what? That's okay, because God's ultimately got the master plan here. We're trusting him to do this, and in his goodness and in his justice, he will do it. But he is saying, I'm not gonna do this alone. I'm calling you to be a part of this plan. And so we are invited to step into this world and to make a difference. Let me ask you, what area, what arena of life do you long to see God restore? Can I tell you one for me? Back when I was in college, I heard a pastor talk about how he wanted to take his family. He was from a small town. He wanted to take his family away for a weekend just to get away. And so they went to the city of St. Louis. And he tells a story about how he was driving around, moving around all over the town, kind of seeing the sights, hanging out with friends, that kind of thing. And he kept being confronted by the basically seeing reminders of the fact that there's evil, there's darkness in the world, right? People behaving badly. Advertisements for certain vices that I think most of us would say are not necessarily good things. I mean, just those kinds of things just kept occurring, and it started to spoil his weekend. And he says in this sermon, he said, I got to a point where I just prayed, God, strike it. There was a woman that was in listening to the same sermon that I knew. When she heard this, she audibly went, no, because she was from St. Louis. So this pastor was coming from this perspective that we were just talking about, that ultimately God's going to just destroy everything. He'll scrap it. It'll get rid of it all. It'll all burn away, and he'll start from scratch. So he was thinking from that direction. Let me tell you one area in which he was absolutely right. God will strike evil. Evil will ultimately be defeated and quarantined, and that will be the end of that. But is it possible that God longs to restore even this city? I mean, I love St. Louis. Many of us love this city. Could God's plan, the mission of God, include a restored, redeemed, healed St. Louis? I think it could. I was born in St. John's Hospital. It's Mercy now. Most of us born in St. Louis probably came from that hospital. But I still have memories as a kid of riding the train at the zoo and going through the tunnels and hearing people scream. Going to see the bears and the sea lion show, and I got to see the Clydesdales at Grant's Farm. I remember the first time that I rode up to the top of the arch. And now as an adult, I've gotten to relive some of those moments and experiences with my own kids. Get this, I took my six-month-old baby to the Old Busch Stadium to a baseball game just so that when he got older, I could tell him, you've been to a game at the old stadium, because it was the year that they tore it down. But when I was a kid, I was cheering for Ozzy and Willie and Whitey. Yeah, sure. I got to see a Blues game at the arena. I got a chance to, I have these really, really sweet memories of times with my friends where we went to old historic Main Street in St. Charles and walked those cobblestones, walked along that beautiful riverfront. We've gone for bike rides on the Katy, all of these just treasured memories. Now, here's the thing. I ate at a place called Noah's Ark. Some of you remember? Here's the thing. These are my memories. And I realize there's a lot of us that are listening to this that aren't from this city. And maybe you're living here for a short while and you're going to move on. Or maybe you're watching this online right now from some other town and you need to insert your own memories about a place that's precious to you. Please do that, because I'm going to tell you, God longs to restore and redeem that city too. But we got to talk about St. Louis, because God has called us as a church to a lot of different things. But he planted the Crossing in this city. And that means that certainly one of the things that we are called to is the city of St. Louis. So however long you've lived here, I hope you've had experiences where you've gotten to fall in love with this town. Whether it's getting dinner with friends on the hill, or going to the Loop, getting ice cream at Ted Drew's, or the Whistle Stop, or Crown Candy. Taking in some of the history of this place at places like the museums and Jefferson Barracks and Cahokia Mounds. I mean, whatever it is, maybe you've taken in a show at a place like the Fox or the Sheldon or the Pageant or Powell Hall. Listen, I could get carried away here. Some of us love this city. But at the same time, we don't have to look very far to see the brokenness, to see the problems that are in our city, the divisions. There are lines that divide this community. Sometimes they're rivers, sometimes they're highways. We don't have to think real hard to remember times where this city struggled to care for one another the way we're supposed to. Times where we haven't gotten it right. Times where we have struggled to thrive economically. And by the way, this is every region of the greater St. Louis area. I mean, it's all of it. It's in every zip code we've got problems. But just a couple of days ago, we were reminded of this moment in 5 years ago with where Ferguson happened. And we were reminded of some of the divisions and problems that are, of our communities that those days exposed. For so many people, this moment in our history raised an awareness of how we are struggling as a city, how sometimes our place, this town, isn't perfect. It's the first time that we heard phrases like Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. Some of us had never heard of the Del Mar Divide before. And listen, whatever your personal convictions are about all of that, whatever your opinions are, I'm just saying how desperately we need Jesus to move into the city and begin to heal and restore and redeem and offer things like grace and wisdom and reconciliation. But listen, what would it be like if we as the people of God understood that the mission was we're called to the ministry of reconciliation? What if we as followers of Jesus said that God is for this community, that he longs to do something in our midst? You've heard this said before that sometimes Christians are more famous for what they're against than what they're for. What if in this town we became known for what we were for? What if we said together we are for St. Louis? So here we go. I've been waiting for weeks to tell you about this. We're gonna enter into something together that honestly we've been wanting to do for a really long time, and we've never done this before. But our leaders and our teams are all in. They've prayed this thing up. Greg, the rest of the teams, everybody's been talking about this. Somebody asked me last night if this was my idea. Are you kidding me? But here it is. We are now going to be invited into the mission. So, the first week of September, the church is leaving the building. And we are gonna tell our community that we are for the Loo. Now, what does that mean? the weekend of September 7th and 8th. It's the weekend after Labor Day. We are canceling services at all four of our sites. We will not have church in our buildings that weekend. Instead, the week before that, September 3rd through September 8th, we are asking everybody who calls The Crossing home to sign up for opportunities to serve throughout the greater St. Louis, and that will be our act of worship for that week. So our team has reached out to all of the organizations that we partner with, and we've said, hey, listen, is there a chance that you could use like a few thousand people to come and help with some things? And you know what? They said yes. They're excited about it. So we've created this website. It's thecrossing.church/fortheloo. And you can go online and you can sign up for serving opportunities, and you can filter it by category. So like if you're handy, or if you're a people person, or if you like to organize things, or you need something family friendly, or you want to make a donation, all of these are options. You can sign up for an opportunity and a time that works for you. And this is all over the greater St. Louis area. In every zip code, there are opportunities for us to be able to serve. Okay, so that's the big announcement. Let me go into detail mode now and just make this as clear for you as I can. I want to make sure you guys know how this is going to work. So to reiterate, no joke, September 7th and 8th, we are canceling all of our services at all four of our sites. And instead, we're asking people to go to this website and sign up for a serving opportunity somewhere in the greater St. Louis area. But we've tried to make it as easy for you as possible. In fact, right now, you can text on your phone that number, that thing there, and we'll send you a link for you to be able to look at the information and sign up for stuff. Now, our data people have said that some of us really struggle with those instructions, so let me walk through it step by step with you. On your phone is an app that you use to text people, right? You're gonna put the number you're texting to is 48099. In the field where you would write the message, you write the word for the loo. All one word, all lowercase, no hashtags, no exclamation points, no explanation of why you're excited about this, just for the loo. And if you get that right, it'll automatically kick back a link to you where you'll be able to go to the website and sign up for all of these serving opportunities. Here's the thing, we really do want as many of y'all to participate in this as possible. We want to show our community, our city that we're in, that we care, that God's doing something. So what that means is, I'm not gonna ask you to jump on and sign up for something right now. What we don't want is for you to get excited about this and real hastily sign up for something and not give it some thought and prayer and consideration. Because if you end up having a schedule conflict or you just forget and you don't show up, what does that communicate? So we really are saying, if we're gonna tell our community that this is what we're about, then we are asking you to sign up and then to show up. Now, another detail you all need to know is that weekend, September 7th and 8th, we are going to offer an online worship experience for all of us to have together. So for those of you who are like, man, I love coming to church. I wanna connect with my pastors. I wanna get my worship on. Our creative team's taking care of you, okay? There's gonna be this really beautiful videoed online worship experience that you'll be able to participate in during all of our regular service times and then on demand after that. So you can join and we can kind of connect with each other over the weekend through that. But here's the thing, one more detail. Whenever you do something really big like this, you gotta have a t-shirt, right? So let me just show you this. Whoop, it was a good throw, bad catch. Here's the shirt. Isn't that cool? Now, yeah. We are already sold out of a bunch of sizes from this weekend in our bookstores, but if you want, you can go to the bookstore after the services and you can special order your size and we'll be able to get it to you. We're gonna order more shirts. We can buy them over the next couple of weeks. We are asking that when you serve, that you wear one of these shirts so people can know we're for the loo, but you don't have to, all right? You don't have to wear the shirt to serve. That's all right. But will you just notice while I'm holding this up what's not on this shirt? It doesn't say The Crossing. See, the last thing we want is for people to think that this is some kind of a marketing stunt for us. That is not our heart at all. We really are just trying to say that God is doing something in the world. He's redeeming and restoring. And so if you go and you serve and people start asking you what this is all about, you can tell them you're from The Crossing if you want to, but really, just tell them, God's for the loo. We're serving here in the name of Jesus. So when we're serving and we're inviting our communities, what we're doing is we're giving people a glimpse of what this life with God looks like. Let's show our city that God's not done with her yet, but he's still redeeming and restoring and healing and making all things new. And then let's remember this. When we do this, God says how he's going to redeem and restore is through us. We have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. And so that means that how we do this matters just as much as what we do. Now, there are some of you who may be excited about this, but you're not gonna be able to participate in this with us for a number of different reasons. Maybe you're gone that week. Maybe you have plans. Maybe you're just not in a position yet where you're ready to jump into this. You need to hear me. That's okay, all right? For you, being Christ's ambassador might start with you just continuing to take steps and asking questions and kind of figuring all of this out. Maybe for you, it's that God is calling you to serve in some other capacity that has nothing to do with this. It's okay. It might be that that your job now is to ask God to help you with some of the stuff we've looked at over the last couple weeks. God, help me with what it looks like to be kind and compassionate and forgiving and to make peace and to love my neighbor. If that's how God's calling you to step into this, we understand. But for the rest of us, we are gonna talk about this more in a couple of weeks. We got a whole bunch that we wanna cover with you. But when we do this, we represent Jesus himself in the way that we serve. We're gonna love the way Jesus loved. We're gonna serve the way Jesus served. Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world, which means we're invited to move into the darkness and begin to share the light of Jesus, and that's how people will know. Listen to how he says it. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The promise of Scripture is that when we do this and we reflect the light of Jesus to our city, it'll have eternal significance. It'll last. In another letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, your labor is not in vain. So what's gonna happen right now is our musicians are gonna start to come out and we're gonna experience something together here at the end, and you're gonna wanna participate in this. We're gonna celebrate together that God is calling us into this mission. In fact, I'm gonna tell you, it's a song that was written by one of our own people, and so you're gonna get to celebrate this with us in just a minute. But as they're coming out and setting up for this, I wanna close by reading to you some words from a scholar named N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright wrote a book called Surprised by Hope. It's a really important book. We teach a class on it here. When he describes this life with God, he says that when we step into this mission, when we understand what it means to be the first fruits of creation, our labor is not in vain. Here's what he says. You are not oiling the wheels of a machine that's about to roll over a cliff. You are not restoring a great painting that's shortly going to be thrown on the fire. You're not planting roses in a garden that's about to be dug up for a building site. You are, strange though it may seem, almost as hard to believe as the resurrection itself. You are accomplishing something that will become in due course part of God's new world. Every act of love, gratitude, and kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God or delight in the beauty of his creation, every minute spent teaching a severely handicapped child to read or to walk, every act of care and nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, and for that matter, one's fellow non-human creatures. And of course, every prayer, all spirit-led teaching, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honored in the world, all of this will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God will one day make. That is the logic of the mission of God, God's recreation of his wonderful world, which began with the resurrection of Jesus and continues mysteriously as God's people live in the risen Christ and in the power of his Spirit, means that what we do in Christ and by the Spirit in the present is not wasted. It will last all the way into God's new world. In fact, it will be enhanced there. Oh, this is the mission of God, and you are invited to the mission to be a light shining in the darkness, moving into our city, moving into our world and into our communities, and declaring that God is about restoring things. This is an opportunity for us to move into every arena of life and to declare new creation, new creation, new creation. So join us. You're probably gonna wanna stand for this closing experience. So why don't you stand up? But let's do this now. Let's be for the loo. Let's love as Jesus loved. Let's serve as Jesus served. Let's go.